Over to you, Monroe.
Thank you. Hi, guys. My name is Monroe, and I'm a recovered addict, alcoholic, sex addict. So nice to be invited back. Thank you so much. And I really love this topic. So we're going to start off in how it works and kind of my experiences and my realizations for step three and how important this is. First of all, like, until we get into this portion, it shows us lack of power in so many different areas of my life, and it's so important because it introduces new roles for me to live by, right? So it shows me extreme lack of power. It's going to show me more how I lack power in different areas of my life, and then it's going to show me an invitation to power, right? And an invitation to new roles and new ideas to perform, right? And it's a super vital because when people, you know, meet me or when they invite me to come share, they're like, oh, he just has this energy about him and he just has this liveliness, and it's not me, you know? Like, if you met me, you know, before I got plugged in, you wouldn't be inviting me to places to speak, you know? So it's a power that works through me, right? And I needed to have all my ideas smashed that my power would do, right? That my power would bring me happiness. My abilities would somehow make life bearable for me to then turn to what they're proposing here, you know? So I'm just going to start off right on how it works. This little bit, we hear it so much, but I gloss over it so much as well. It says, rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path, right? So if I thoroughly follow this path, there'd be a rare chance that I'll fail. This is those who do not recover, people cannot or will not completely give themselves. And I like that they give us two options of cannot or will not, right? So I've only met one person that I know of that is a cannot. He is physically and mentally unable to apply what this book is giving us to his life. Everyone else has the same opportunity, the same ability to be free. Everyone else, you know. So if you're not deaf, mute, blind, and with no arms, then you are not a cannot. I'm sorry to tell you. You can be recovered, and you can get what this book is talking about, and you can get freedom. You know, the book references this way of life as like hitting a limitless load of gold in a mine, right? And I can never run out as long as I keep on working and prepare to get that gold away, you know? So you have the opportunity wherever you're at, right? So God will always meet you where you're at, guaranteed, always, period. All right, so it's going to tell me I'm going to balk at this new way, right? So it's this new way of life, this AA, this practicing these principles, this new system, right? This is good. It goes against everything that I do, right? I am selfish, self-centered to the extreme. I only know how to serve myself when I come here, you know? So when I'm told to serve other people, to help other people and to do things that are unselfish, right? It goes against my very being, right? Everything that I've known pretty much up until getting into AA. You know, so there's like a natural resistance. That's why it's so important to have someone to take you through steps one and two thoroughly, you know, because I need to see that this is my only option. There needs to be no alternative way. There needs to be, you know, two alternatives, right? It needs to be that clear for me. Or, you know, I might just kind of screw around for a while. And it talks about there is one power, there is one that has all power, that one is God. So we're going to tap into something that has all power. Right? This is an unlimiting God, right? So not just stopping at being recovered from, you know, drinking and using. No, I can go much further than that. You know, this book promises much, much, much further than that. You know, if we take a look at some of the promises that are involved with this, just the promises in step three are crazy, you know, and it has a lot of power behind it. And no wonder a lot of people stop before they do their inventory. I feel like a lot of people get a massive amount of power, you know, think that's sufficient, which it talks about in this book too. You know, the stories are all talking about people that go steps one, two, three, and don't continue. You know, and I tell my sponsees, don't be a story in More About Alcoholism. It's typical. You know, it's played out. Do something different. We all think we're individual by doing that, but it's like that's all the stories talk about that. It's played out. You know, what's new and fresh is doing the work to the best of your ability. That's something new and fresh, and that will give you fruits. Right, so And it tells me half measures avail me nothing, right? So I just love this because I always tried to half measure. It's like, I don't know why, you know, and I always thought it was super cool and slick because I'm like trying to half measure and like we all want to do it. And it's interesting. And people look at me and what I do for the program, they're like, that's a lot. That's pretty obnoxious, right? You do quite a bit. You know, you sponsor a lot of guys. I don't know if I can, you know, like, I don't want to do that. But it's like when things hit the fan, I was overloaded with a massive amount of things like during lockdown with deaths and just a bunch of tragic stuff, really. Had I not been doing this way of life, I'm pretty sure I would not have gotten through it, you know. But in the adverse effect, I was connected to God and I was able to be a very helpful tool to the people about me. It was no longer, it wasn't me being affected and how I'm affected by this is how I can be of help to my family, the ones that were actually suffering, you know. So there's so much fruit. One, I get to live, right, because I'm an alcoholic and drug addict, a real deal, you know, and I need this way of life. That's number one. But also I get to have all these different fruits of my labor, right? So, and it gives us an instruction to ask for protection and care with complete abandon, you know, because we're going into facing some stuff that we haven't looked at yet, right, in step four and seeing some truths and some things I'm not and some things that I am, right? So I'm going to go right into page 60. You know, it talks about these three pertinent ideas, right? And I love how the original manuscript, like, just if you're not sold on these three aspects, you just need to throw the book away or reread it because it's just not going to work out. You know, like, you need to see that you're an alcoholic. You need to know what that is. You need to see that your lack of power is not going to do. And you need to see that God can and will, has and will, again, for me now. I change the book when I go through it again with the new experience, has and will, again, take me further, right? If I'm not sold on that, like, I'm not, there's no wonder I'm going to stop in my fourth step, you know? It's never an issue about the fourth step or the ninth step or sponsoring people. That's never the issue. People say, like, I just have an issue with the inventories of ladder writing. No, you don't believe you're an alcoholic that needs this way of life in order to live. Like, oh, I just don't want to meet my ex. No, you just don't believe that you need to do that in order to live. You know, it's like you have either forgotten or in the delusion that you're not, or maybe you're not an alcoholic. I don't know. You know, but I need to do this way of life. I tried to skate around stuff, and I would keep on going out, you know, and then try to crawl back into AA and, you know, it's much easier just to do this book in its entirety because I don't have to spend all this unnecessary energy, which we're about to show us, in trying to arrange life and trying to make things happen. I just try to flow through life. You know, later in the book, it says we don't burn up energy foolishly as we did when we were trying to arrange life to suit ourselves. You know, it's because it talks about self-propulsion and it's going to talk about God-propulsion. Self-propulsion gives me nothing but confusion, people hurt around me, massive amount of issues and problems in my life. And then God propulsion usually just brings me calmness and peaceness, and I just kind of float through it, right? So when I'm doing all this stuff that people say is too much, I get to float through life, and I don't tire so easily because I'm not burning up energy foolishly, right? I'm efficient, you know? So, but it's important to know that I'm an alcoholic. This is something that I need. I need to see that any life run on self-will can be hardly be a success. So do I believe that my life run on self-will can hardly be a success? And do I believe any life? You know, and I look out to the world and I see normal people running lives in self-will, and I'm like, that's not successful, not what I call successful. You know, just look at the world today. You know, a lot of rich, powerful people that I wouldn't call successful. You know, I'm like, I'm glad I have my life, you know, in my little closet room, you know, which is also my office now. So it talks about me on my own, self-propulsion, my power, right? It's going to show how I go through life. I try to manipulate the world. I try to grasp and strangle things and put it into position to make it work, right? So, like, they talked about in the last chapter, you know, like, we're going from the bridge of logic to the shores of faith. So logic will tell me, right, that I don't have money. I need to go hustle. I need to go work. I need to go put myself out there. I need to exert myself more. You know, I need to really just put in the hours and just stress it out. You know, but the spiritual life tells me to take a step back, connect to God, and allow God to propel me where God wants me to go. You know, and I don't know what's planned for me, you know. So it's been a big journey of seeing these different things in my life in sobriety and then turning back to God, going back to the roles we're about to introduce. Because I always try to grasp something. I get something new in life, like friends. You know, no one wanted to be my friends until I got sober, right? I started getting friends, and then I tried to self-will that and manage that, and then I had to bring it back to God. You know, then now I'm employable, and now I get a job, and I'm like, oh, I don't know how to do this, and I had to bring that back to God. You know, so all these different areas of life start to open up, and then I need to figure out. I get to see it though. I run that out until I see self-will does not work. You know, I'm still hard-headed. It's not like an immediate thing. I still need to have like a whole step one experience that I am powerless at the gym. I'm powerless everywhere. You know, I need God constantly working through me 24 hours a day, right? So now I'm going to go into the roles a little bit because this gave me a lot of freedom. You know, it talks about selfishness, self-centeredness that we think is the root of our troubles, you know, so I had spent a lot of times trying to, like, pluck weeds, but I never was, gripping the roots, you know? Like, I would just chop off the leaves at the top, and I would just try to take care of my problems like that, but I would never, you know, get my fingers dirty and really get into the roots and rip it out, you know, and be done with it. I was pruning, you know? I never fully gardened. I just tried to chop leaves off like a bonsai tree, and no wonder it never worked. I was never getting to the root of any of my issues. You know, and it talks about from its stem, all form. Like, there's so much things that stem just from me being selfish, you know, driven by 100 forms of fear, self-delusion, self-seeking. You know, so it's so important that I'm taking on these new roles because my problems are of my own making. You know, so the book reference, every time the book references a problem, it's of my own making, right? So don't be the manufacturer of misery. Fear ought to be classified with stealing. They arise out of ourselves. They are of our own making. They all are in reference to it is of my own making, right? If I'm looking at God's perfect universe, you know, at God's perfect children, and I see problem and conflict, that's me, you know? But and I love how it talks about the promise in here, and the gift is, it's just me, right? The world does not have to change for me to be okay. I can be changed by God, my vision, you know, the vision of God's will. I can have a different vision and see a world differently and have a new world come into view, you know, the world of the spirit. And I get to see things with an awakened mind as they are in truth, you know. So I just love that. I love it being on me. It's like, oh, I can just work my program and I can live in this beautiful world, you know. And it talks about... So another decision. So next we decided that hereafter in the drama of life, right, God was going to be the director, right? So it starts to give us new roles to live by. And I never really knew what these meant. So my sponsor told me to write out, like, what the relationships between an actor and a director are. You know, what is my personal, if I'm an actor and God's the director, like, what does that relationship look like? So I had to write out all these different things so I can get an idea of, like, what this role is. Because it's easy just to say, like, I'm the child today, you know, but I had no idea what that meant, you know. And then until I started getting an idea of that, it's a fun little exercise that really took me further. It's like, oh, a kid plays in the sandbox. A kid doesn't get wrapped up in adult affairs. A kid is provided for, given food, sustained, cared for, and loved unconditionally. The kid just plays with his blocks in the sandbox. He doesn't concern himself with taxes and all, you know what I mean? So, like, very simple things that I needed. And I was also told that because a lot of people have, like, issues with the father portion, you know, so he is the father, we are his children. So I was told to, if I have anyone special in my life that gave me unconditional love, like a grandma or something, do that relationship, have a different experience with that. You know, for me, it was my mom. I did mother child, you know, like the baby. The mom does not need to be told anything by the baby. You know what I mean? Like, the baby will cry out, but the mom will always just love the baby, right? And help the baby. So I got these little bit little roles, and these help when I'm going through my day, because I've made this decision that I'm now going to perform God's will. I'm going to help as many alcoholics as I can. I've already made this decision, right? Just to tap back in throughout the day. Like, oh, my role is to be a kid. You know, my role is just to follow guidance from God. You know, what is my script? You know, God, show me my script. You know, to be a principal. You know, I mean, not to be an agent of the principal, sorry. you know, which means I'm empowered. You know, I am empowered by allness. You know, like, just sit on that. You're empowered. So you're an agent. So, like, for Michael Jordan, he has agents, right? Like, so, like, I'm an agent for Michael Jordan. I represent Michael Jordan. I can get into access to, like, different clubs. I have, like, high-level access to everything. You know, super interconnected. One call, I can make things happen. You know, but I can't dunk. You know, I can't get on the court and do what he does. You know, I'm a representation for him. You know, and it's like, it was, or like a secret agent, you know, a little earpiece. But I got these little roles that really helped me understand, like, what I'm supposed to do. You know, and it's kind of like me just not doing anything and allowing God to do it. You know, it's like, how can I do the least amount as possible, pretty much, and allow God just to take me, you know? So the program started out as an addition, like saying, I need to add this to my life, add this to my life. And it's became, I don't know when, I think like a year and a half in, it's become, okay, what can I subtract of what I'm trying to do, you know, and just make it purely God. It can literally be that simple, a God reliance, you know. And it talks about this being like one of the stones that complete this archway, right, that I can walk into freedom, the archway being internal, you know, and a freedom inside, you know, connected to power, which is already within you, you know, so no more searching, right? But I think my time's up, so thank you so much for letting me share.
Oh no, thank you. We have got a few more minutes. If there was anything else that you had on your list there to cover.
Oh yeah, I'll go over some of the promises. Thank you. And so it says, when we sincerely took such a position. So the position being these new roles, right, that they're talking about. So when I sincerely take that position, right, remarkable things follow. You know, so we had a new employer. So anyone getting stuck at work, you know, that can be a really fun one to do an employee-employer kind of relationship, you know, and God is my employer. Work does not matter. That's just an extension, you know. Like, that's just an extension. That's like little extra stuff. I've had to take a massive – I have an ideal for work too, but a massive step back from work, because God is the providence. God is the supply always. You know, I can get tripped up in thinking that work is, but it's not actually. So now, being all powerful, he provided what we needed if we kept close to him and performed his work well, right? So it might not look like what I think it should, but everything that I need will be provided for if I keep close, right? So when I lose jobs and stuff, like, I'm like, how can this be God's will? I'm losing money, you know? But it was exactly what I needed. I only saw that in hindsight later when I already had the experience. You know, so just keep close. Whatever is going on, just keep close. Keep on pushing through the work. Things will get better. Things will level out. You will have an experience. You will grow, right? So the next one, just established on such a footing, we became less and less interested in ourselves, our little plans and designs. More and more we became interested in what we can contribute to life, right? So as we felt new power flow in, right, so circle that, flow in, it's not a fun thing to talk about. When you talk about God, they talk about being possessed or it flowing in and through a physical, like, sensation, which I love because that's the experience I had. As we enjoy peace of mind, we discover that we could face life successfully, right? As we became conscious of his presence, we began to lose our fear of today, tomorrow, and the hereafter. We were reborn. That's powerful. You know, and you might go to some meetings and hear, like, I'm just trying to get through. You know, I hear, like, a lot of people, like, with time, too, and they're just like, I'm just really trying to get through this coronavirus stuff, and it's like, okay, I get that, you know, like, I'm glad you're here, you know, but it talks about an immense amount of freedom. We get to lose fear. We get to outgrow fear is what it talks about, and it goes back to these roles when it talks about the fear inventory, you know. We get to feel power flow in, enjoy peace of mind, and be highly successful internally, you know, operating successfully internally, meaning even if I work at a dead-end job, you know, I go there and I'm happy, I'm useful, people like me there, you know, they're excited to see me, they tell me that they work better and smoother when I'm there, you know, it's because something inside of me is, it's God, you know, it's not me, people, it's God working through me, you know, but thank you so much, that's where I'll end.
Lovely. Monroe, thank you so much. That was fantastic. That was really, really great. I'm going to press stop on the record now.